Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
Welcome back to The Drive on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Tune in on game day to hear him 3 hours before kickoff and immediately following the final whistle. Here's the new pregame and postgame host for the Chiefs Radio Network.
Kansas City wins the game!
Joshua Briscoe.
I do want to get Briscoe's thoughts here coming up in a bit. I promise you we'll get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. Just we're having a conversation about Shedeur Sanders. It is just... I will say this, and we are just doing the say it out loud test. It is mind-blowing to me how many people think a quarterback that played 2 years at a Power Four university, completed 71% of his passes, threw for 4,000 yards his second season, had 64 touchdowns and 13 interceptions in his 2 seasons at a Power Four university, was only drafted because of who his dad is. Like, maybe he's a decent NFL prospect, too, who just happens to have a famous father. Like, maybe. Now, I think that his father has contributed greatly to his notoriety, no question about it. But making it seem like Shedeur's own body of work has not warranted him being drafted into the National Football League is crazy to me. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Joshua Briscoe to get his thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs, who don't have any of these quarterback issues. Briscoe, how you doing today, my man?
I'm good, and I'll just add, honestly, I don't think I've heard a good Shedeur Sanders take yet. Anywhere, from any side. It has just become, one of the weirdly most toxic things in sports right now. It's like, he can play a little bit, that's fine, I'm cool with that. Let him play football, but I also don't need to see Josina Anderson's tweets about him either, man. It's really gotten, extremely weird.
Yeah, I know, everybody has just gotten weird when it comes to Shedeur Sanders, no question about it. We'll start with this. Would you rather have somebody spit on you or punch you in the nuts?
I heard a little bit of you talking to your guy from Houston earlier, and I heard that question come up, and I thought, God, I hope I get asked this question early in our segment. I'm gonna be honest, man. I know that these are two bad options. I'd rather have the thing that doesn't hit me in the genitals. So if you spit on me, that's disrespectful, and maybe I'm gonna do something in response that I'm not gonna be super proud of, but you're not going to medically harm me in a way that's gonna double me over to the ground. So I don't want either of those, but I'd rather be spit on than hit in the nuts.
Right now we're talking to Joshua Briscoe.
Did you ask Mitch Holthus that question?
No, because we hadn't had the guy get hit in the nuts yet. Remember,
okay,
that happened
enough.
Last night on Monday Night Football.
Fair
I would ask Mitch.
All right, ask Mitch next week.
Okay, I'll remember this. I gotta ask Mitch Holthus this question.
Don't tell him I told you to do it. I'm not gonna tell him
exactly where it came from. Hey, Joshua Briscoe from the Chiefs Radio Network wants to know this. I'm 100% gonna ask him this question.
We've gotten along so pleasantly so far, and I feel like things have really gone well. I don't need any of that brought into question now. I feel like I've made it to Thanksgiving without incident. Don't make that the first one.
Briscoe, I want you to be honest here. When Kareem Hunt fumbled the ball, did you think the season was over?
It was definitely the lowest point. I'm optimist pilled now, because I'm here every game day. Happens. Oh, did I lose you guys there for a second?
We got you, man.
My AirPods connected. Okay, sorry. I have to be an optimist because I'm going to be here every game day. Like, I am going to be talking about this team regardless of what's happening. I was doing it in the preseason, right? So, I've got my optimism and my rose-colored glasses on, I guess. They could have lost that game and the season wouldn't have been over, but I will say, when Kareem Hunt lost the fumble, I stopped believing that the Colts game was going to go that way, and with the thought of, oh, they're going to lose the Colts game, now we're going to have to ask them to win half a dozen games in a row without dropping any of them. It was the closest I've been to believing that the season was over in a really, really, really long time.
Yeah, I argue that this was as down bad as the Chiefs have been since the fourth quarter of the first Super Bowl. Like, if you're down 20-10 with 8 minutes to go, that's not a game that you're supposed to win. Certainly not supposed to win by double digits. Like, the Chiefs looked dead in the water. They had blown another red zone opportunity, another fumble, another mistake. It just felt like everything was piling on Kansas City. And for them to turn it around on really both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, and show that they still have that fight. And now I would argue that both of these teams, Kansas City and Dallas, they find themselves in basically the exact same spot. Both had a great win on Sunday, great momentum, and now you're seeing if you can keep that momentum going, or if you lose, it's going to feel like everything you did on Sunday is for nothing.
Right, and it's why I found myself kind of against my better judgment rooting for the Eagles on Sunday, because I was like, I don't like a frisky, good vibes Cowboys team coming together to bring this thing into the spotlight on Thanksgiving for this game that's going to be such an enormous national stage and two teams with at this point, the biggest brands in the sport, both in that same spot, playing for their playoff lives. Like, it's not a playoff game, but it's as close of one as you're going to get on Thanksgiving Day, and with it being the Chiefs and Cowboys, it might as well be the NFL's chosen Super Bowl in a lot of ways. So, I mean, it really does feel like this game is going to get kind of the pomp and circumstance it deserves. And we're used to propping up some Thanksgiving football over the years of, okay, well, maybe the Cowboys are almost contenders, or, ooh, you know what, these last few years, the Lions are pretty good. Maybe we'll get some real football out of them. This game has, like, honest to goodness, like, that top shelf matchup kind of vibes, especially with the Cowboys having a little bit of a corner turn defensively since adding Quinnen Williams. And that offense has been unbelievable all year. They have two freaks catching the football. I mean, this is really good stuff that we're lining up to get on the holiday.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe. We're getting his thoughts on the Colts win. Also looking ahead to the game against the Dallas Cowboys. This is something that I don't want to get swept under the rug in all of the conversation about Sunday's win. I really think Travis Kelce going up to Kareem Hunt and his response to the fumble, I think, was one of those Raul Labanez, Mike Moustakas speeches that really, really rallied the team and got them going. I think in that moment, your team leader coming up to him, the hug, the embrace, telling you that we need you and keep your head in it, I think the rest of the team fed off that energy the remainder of the game.
I think you're right, and I like it a lot, because we've talked so many times about, like, all of the different forms of accountability, and when you want somebody to just, like, scream at someone, and when you want to make sure you're picking someone up, and the specifics of Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce being the two guys in that vignette, and I'm glad the TV cameras caught it the way they did, where it's just, like, one of those big, aggressive hugs of, like you just said, we're gonna need you here, man. Like, this thing isn't over yet, but it is if your head is out of it. The path that Kareem Hunt has taken, and, like, look, obviously the reason and the timing of him leaving Kansas City the first time has been well covered, and it sucks. Like, it was a terrible way for that tenure to end and all of that. But the ultimate story of what Kareem Hunt is able to do, bookending some disappointing years in Cleveland with his time in Kansas City, Travis Kelce knew that guy, and he had the Cleveland connection that is built in there, and he was able to be in the trenches with him in 2017 and 2018, and a guy who has not been a fumbler, but has one incredibly memorable fumble from the beginning of his NFL career to that moment against Indy, and again, kind of hanging in the balance like we talked about. Are you going to decide on the sideline right now, is this season going to keep going, or are you going to be playing wish upon a star levels of catch up against the rest of the AFC the rest of the way? That is a moment for me, absolutely, where it's a different form of leadership, and it's a different form of team building and the camaraderie and what they've all been through together at this point. I'm sure Kelce reacts a very, very similar way if that's anybody else fumbling the football, but I found it particularly poetic being him and Kareem Hunt.
right now we're talking to Joshua Briscoe, getting to some of the top storylines with the Chiefs. Can you explain to me, and you're a really smart individual, so maybe you have the answer to this. Can you explain to me why on 2nd and 10 in overtime, the Chiefs handed the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and are you ready to join me in a petition for the Chiefs to never give him another carry?
I'm not that smart. I appreciate it. That's really nice, but I'm definitely not smart enough to petition that. No, I don't know why that's the play call there. I understand why Clyde gets the call ups. I understand the comfort level of having a guy that knows your protections. And when the most important thing that you can do is protect Patrick Mahomes, I get it. And Clyde seems like an all time vibes guy. You talk about like the locker room and everybody loving everybody else. Clyde seems to be like absolutely the cream of the crop there. And I get it. I do not think he needs to be getting touches in that circumstance. I don't know that he needs to be getting touches if Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt and Breshard Smith are all active on the same day. I will talk to you about Damian Pierce if you'd like, but I think that there's a path down the road where he's the next guy up getting a few of those touches. But yeah, I don't need 2nd and 10 shotgun handoffs to Clyde or really to probably anybody in this offense as currently constructed.
What do you see as Damian Pierce's role on the team? I think he's going to primarily help them in special teams, but what do you think his role is?
I think depth is kind of a cop out, but I do think that's legit, of just like a guy who can do some of that straight ahead running stuff that frankly is like kind of similar to the running styles of Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. Not even that they're terribly similar running backs, because they're not. They do things differently and in different ways. But if you think about, like, okay, do you have some comfort running the ball out of shotgun, which the Chiefs obviously prefer to do? Can you hit the hole and just move forward? And I think that that's a reasonable ask for a guy who has shown an ability to do that at the NFL level. However, again, I heard your conversation earlier in the show with your guy in Houston, and here's the comp that I'll give, and it's, you know, I'm about to double dip on a guy that we just talked about. But when the New Orleans Saints signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it was his age 25 season. They had just parted ways with the Chiefs. Obviously, he was a first-round pick who had a really good rookie season, but got banged up, never really got healthy, never had quite the same burst after that. Obviously, off-the-field stuff, too, that ends up being kind of an inspirational story in that right. But when the Saints signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire, no one in Kansas City was going, oh, man, he's going to fix their running back room. Nobody in Houston is going to look at Damian Pierce and say, oh, man, I can't believe he's going to go save the Chiefs running back group. That's incredible. It's a very similar story in terms of you fall in love with the rookie. He has some effect in his first season. He gets injured. He's not quite the same guy. I think Damian Pierce is in his, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire year 4 kind of stage. Now, can the Chiefs get more out of him than the Saints did out of Clyde? Absolutely. And frankly, I expect them to. I also think they need to, because this running back room does need another professional running back in it. And this is a good free way to add it instead of having to make a move at the deadline or whatever. But I do think it's going to benefit everybody to keep expectations low until he gets the call up. And I don't think it's going to be Thursday in Dallas, barring something really surprising. But if he's out there and he returns a kick for you, or maybe gets a couple offensive touches against Houston football in a little more than a week against the team that just cut him, that makes sense to me. So I don't think he's going to end up taking Isaiah Pacheco or Kareem Hunt workload snaps, but I think he could step in and do some of the same things they've asked Clyde, or very briefly Elijah Mitchell, or maybe some of those carries for Breshard Smith to do. I think Pierce has less speed, less burst, less dynamicism than Breshard Smith does, but if they can trust Pierce to just do some of the kind of basic running back stuff, he is useful. And right now, I'll take that.
Sunday was the highest number of under center rush attempts that the Chiefs have had while Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback. They ran it from under center 16 times. They averaged 2.9 yards per carry on those attempts. Does that matter to you? Because for Rob, it matters. Hey, they tried it. It wasn't super effective. This isn't a sustainable model moving forward. I think it helped control time of possession. It helped control the tempo of the game. And I don't think anybody expects the Chiefs to have a great run game, but they can't abandon the run game, and it has to be a part of the game flow that the opposition has to respect. I think the fact that the opposition had to respect it opened it up for Patrick Mahomes to throw for 350 yards and make some of those throws down the field, because it kept the defense honest. Where are you at with the Chiefs run game and how effective it was on Sunday, even though the numbers might not have been there?
Well, yeah, I think it was situationally effective, and I think that's kind of what I'm asking from the running game for the most part. You guys talked to Mitchell Schwartz last week, I think, and that would have been after he did his little breakdown of the RPO against the Broncos. And I thought about that a lot over the last week, because when you do have an RPO into a light box, and I can't remember if it was the linebacker or if it was a box safety, who is literally turning his hips away from the hole to go cover the pass on the first play of the game, or, heck, the second play of the game against Indianapolis, a defensive end who is in no way concerned there's going to be a handoff and he's just ready to play the passing lane because he's seen this before. You want to make sure that you're a little bit more dynamic than that. You want to make sure you have a little bit more variety than what the Chiefs have shown a few times this year. So I also think the Colts are kind of interesting because they're not the run defense that, say, the Bills were. And the Bills game, I think if you end up with twice as many under center running plays as the Chiefs actually had, they might have won that football game because that was a pretty effective, efficient way of moving the ball. Kareem Hunt was averaging 4.5 yards a carry against Buffalo. I'd like to see them continue to have that in the mix. And I think having Pacheco back will help. Having Hunt off of a 30-carry day is probably not going to lead to another 20-carry day for him in Dallas. And they're not going to run 90-some plays on Thursday either, you assume. But I do think you need to be able to show that it's something you're willing to do when effectively the defense is begging you to do it. When the defense says, we dare you, we're daring you to run the football because we don't think you're going to, then you need to be able to run the football, take those 6 yards on first down, set up second and medium, and then you're cooking from there. So I don't need them to build the entire plane out of that. I never want to take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands on a regular basis. But like when Matt Nagy talked today, and he's talked in recent weeks about the breather runs, that takes a little bit of the burden off of Patrick Mahomes' shoulders, I'm willing to do that for 3 yards in a cloud of dust every once in a while, because I have seen some of those repeated things in the offense get a little bit stuffy this year. And I think having the option to hand the football off and then fight on second and six or second and seven, I'm okay seeing that a little bit until defenses start to key in on it. When defenses start to key in on it, you start throwing on first down again. That's the chess match of every NFL football game, and it's why I think the sport rules so much.
To me, the conversation about this really comes down to how much do you think they trust Isaiah Pacheco, because they have shown great belief in Kareem Hunt over the last year and a half. Basically, since he's gotten back, they've trusted him in short yardage. They've given him volume. They've given him the ball in ways that they have never given Isaiah Pacheco the ball. That's the question to me moving forward, especially in this game. You would have to assume, coming off 30 carries in a short week, that you're not using Kareem Hunt to get 15, 20 carries or so. Do they trust Kareem to get his normal 11 or 12, and do they trust Isaiah Pacheco to also get 11 or 12 carries to keep that balance?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and it really makes me wish that this was well into Pacheco's recovery process and that he was clearly 100%. I mean, again, Andy saying today he wasn't going to, like, put a pitch count on it or whatever. That makes sense. Hopefully, Pacheco being held out and getting those extra few days to be ready for this game, that hopefully that does end up being just taking him off ice and letting him be in a place where he is ready for 10 or 15 touches or for a workload where he is fresh and explosive. But it's, you know, this isn't Rashee Rice off of suspension where he hadn't been getting hit all year. I am still kind of worried about Isaiah Pacheco's knee. What's the brace going to look like on Thursday, and what kind of explosion will he have there? I think the framing of trust is pretty interesting, because the Chiefs have trusted Isaiah Pacheco to be on the field. They've trusted him to be a really important part in this offense. Frankly, maybe the most trust they've shown in him was this offseason when they didn't make a significant move to try to upgrade over him at running back. It was bring back Kareem Hunt, add Breshard Smith at the end of the draft, and then the first of those moves was signing Elijah Mitchell, which is obviously hasn't manifested into anything. I think that they want to trust Isaiah Pacheco, and they have wanted to be able to rely on him that way. But since the broken leg, he hasn't moved quite the same way, and I'm a little bit concerned that we're going to see a diminished version of him with a potentially bulky knee brace and coming off this injury. But if he can be a guy that still can just ram his head through the offensive line 10 times a game, and again, I would also like to see him get some more under center opportunities as well, because we know that his vision isn't exactly his calling card at this point. I'd like to see that attempted, considering the unbelievable workload that Hunt has taken in recent weeks.
I'll get you out of here with these last two questions. First question is, give us a hot Thanksgiving take. Like, what is a take that people get mad at you for? Like, mine was, you know, I'm not putting sweet potatoes on my plate. I got no interest in putting sweet potatoes on there. What's yours?
I'll tell you what, I am not a sweet potato guy either. It's just, this is the diabetes coming through. But it's just all carbs on carbs on carbs. You've got sweet potatoes, that's starchy carbs. You're putting brown sugar on there, that's more carbs. You're putting marshmallows on there, I'm literally running out of insulin just talking about it. I think you're gonna agree with this hot take. This might not be that hot. But in general, I love a weird food. I iterate on a recipe, throw a curveball, freshen it up a little bit. Let's try something different. I love variety, the spice of life.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Not on Thanksgiving, I don't. On Thanksgiving, I would like the recipes to be off of note cards that are older than I am. Or, in some instances, I want the recipe that's on the back of the box. If you're going to make some stovetop stuffing, just do that. I found out, as an adult, that my grandma's green bean casserole recipe that I love, that was from the side of the can of cream of mushroom soup. But it was already in my bones, the nostalgia of those flavors. So I think I just want to go ahead and play it old school, which again, maybe that's just the right take. Maybe we can all unite over this. I will have weird twists on recipes 364 days out of the year. But on Thanksgiving, I want it like I had it when I was a kid.
This guy on the text line has sent three different texts asking me to ask you about your review on Wicked 2. I've never seen Wicked 1. All I know is Ariana Grande is Dorothy from Wizard of Oz. That's all I know about this movie.
Yeah, you nailed it. Don't look at the text line for a little while, because that's exactly true. Ariana Grande is not Dorothy. She's not Dorothy?
Who is she then?
It doesn't matter. She's Galinda. She's the Good Witch. I haven't seen Wicked 2 yet. We're going to go see it tomorrow.
Hold on. The Wizard of Oz is about Dorothy and her trying to meet the... That's not what Wicked's about?
It's awesome to me that you thought for two entire promo campaigns and one of these movies out that you thought Ariana Grande was Dorothy.
She was Dorothy.
That's awesome. I mean, that is my favorite reading of Wicked I've ever heard. My wife has seen the show multiple times. We're going to go see it tomorrow. I haven't seen part two yet. I enjoyed part one fine. It's not like my favorite thing in the world. But what is my favorite thing in the world is you finding out that Ariana Grande is not playing Dorothy. That's awesome. You've made my holiday season.
Yeah. Joshua Briscoe joining us on the show today. Rob and I have to talk about this on our own time because my mind is blown right now. I appreciate you joining us on the show, man. Happy holidays.
Rob, you knew this, right? Happy holidays, guys. I'm not... Rob, do not disconnect me. I want to hear the following conversation. Thanks, guys. I'll be here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.